So Luke chapter 12, Luke is one of the eyewitness accounts of Jesus in the Bible, reading from verse 13 to verse 34. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God.' Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all these things, and your father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Nick.
Thanks, Alfie. I wanted to start this lunchtime by asking you all a question. And I'm sorry, because it's a question that some of you may find a little morbid. And the question's this: when you're dead and buried and in the ground, how do you want other people to think of your life? Maybe you're someone here today and you're sufficiently important that after you're gone, the FT will write one of their famous obituaries about you. Or maybe, like me, after you're gone, all it's going to be is one pithy little sentence inscribed on my tombstone. What do you want it to say? Maybe you want it to say, "He was a great dad. She was a loving wife." Or maybe you want it to say, "He was a great success." Or, "He changed the world." Well, this lunchtime, we're going to look at one such obituary. But it's not written by man, but written by God. And it's a very brief one. It reads, "He was a fool." It's a bit of a terrifying prospect, isn't it? That our lives are going to be looked back on, and for some of us, the judgment is going to be that they have been one great work of foolishness. And that's the great judgment that's going to matter. It's not what the FT says in our obituary. It's what God is going to have to say about how we've lived. And specifically, about whether we've lived our life as that all that mattered was what is in the here and now, or whether we've lived our life with regards to the future return of the Lord Jesus. And if we're going to have been found to have lived them with no regard to his return whatsoever, the conclusion is going to be that we've been very foolish. Now, some of us may have been here last week, others may not. And so it's worth just thinking back to last week and remembering Jesus' warning to the Pharisees of the coming judgment on them for their hypocrisy. They pretended on the outside to be very clean, to be very good. But on the inside, they were harbouring all kinds of wickedness. And Jesus starts in chapter 12 with this whole section of teaching on what it means to not be hypocritical. And he does this in the context of this future day of judgment, where everything that's hidden is going to be revealed. And with a warning that for some people, the terrible consequence of what's been going on the inside is going to be hell. And also last week, we saw that this warning of the day of revealing means that the disciples should proclaim Jesus fearlessly. They should disregard any present consequences because of what's coming in the future. And it's also worth noting that this section of Luke is a little bit characterized by a repeated pattern. Jesus talks first to those who are on the outside, like the Pharisees in chapter 11, verse 37. And then, like we saw last week in 12, verse 1, he talks to those who are on the inside, to his disciples. And he says different but related things to each of those two groups. And this week we're going to see that the same pattern is repeated. Jesus saying first something to those who were on the outside, and then subsequently something to those who are on the inside. So let's start off, first of all, with the outsider. And that's my first point from this passage this lunchtime. To the outsider, to the person who doesn't follow Jesus, Jesus says, don't be a fool. Jesus is asked in our passage to divide or to judge in a dispute between two brothers. And Jesus answers the question, not with an answer, but with another question. And the question that he answers with, he's actually going to answer in about 2 weeks' time. And I'll tell you what that answer is now. He says, yes, I have come to divide between you, but not in the way you're expecting. My division between you is going to be in the future when I come back as judge over everyone. And so instead of dividing between them now in their dispute now, Jesus gives this man a warning. And he says, don't be a fool. And he does it by teaching a parable. Now, if you're not a Christian here today and you are listening to that passage, or maybe even if you are a Christian, Jesus' parable may strike you as very surprising. To some of you, what this man does may seem very sensible. He's being very prudent, isn't he? He's treating his money and his possessions very wisely, some of you may be thinking. The future's uncertain. I've got plenty now. The sensible thing is to store it up, invest it, take my bonus and top up my pension with it. But Jesus is insistent, no, this man's being a fool. So I think we're supposed to be drawn in and ask the question, why? What's so foolish about what this man's doing? And if you look down on the handout, I think there are three reasons. Three reasons Jesus gives in this passage as to why this man is being a fool. So the first reason, look with me at verse 15. Jesus clearly warns us and this man that only a foolish person would believe that your life consists in the abundance of possessions. And maybe yet again you're shaking your head at Jesus. Isn't that all that life's about? I mean, that's what the world around us tells us, isn't it? All life is about is getting as much of what this world has to offer as I possibly can. But no, Jesus says, that's wrong. Our lives are much more than just the things we can come to possess. No amount of possessions are going to give your life meaning. No amount are going to fulfill you. No amount of possessions are ever going to be enough. And as we're going to see, no amount of possessions will ever have meant that our lives mean anything or keep us safe. And that comes on to our second reason. Jesus says it's foolish to dedicate all of your life to acquiring possessions for yourself because those possessions, they don't solve your biggest problem. This really is, I think, when we come down to it, the ultimate definition of foolishness. And we see it every day. People scurrying around in their daily lives, worrying about these tiny little problems, but ignoring the biggest problem that they have over here. Well, what is that problem? Well, the problem is the problem of death. You can see this fool, can't you? He's lying awake late at night, tossing and turning, worrying not about his future death, but what he's going to do with all his things. What am I going to do? He says to himself, tossing and turning. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and then a light bulb comes on. I know. I'll build some bigger barns, and I'll put all of my new possessions into them, and everything will be okay. But it's foolishness, because that isn't going to keep him safe. His really big problem is that one day he's going to die, and then he's going to be asked to give an account. And this cuts to the heart of why Jesus is warning us in this passage about greed. He says, when you turn your life into a one-tracked pursuit of getting as much stuff, you completely distract yourself from the really big problem that you have. This is Jesus' definition of foolishness. Don't spend your life devoting all of your energies to getting hold of as much stuff as possible, because all it'll do is distract you from your really big problem. And then quickly, reason number three, Jesus tells us something that in our hearts we all really know is true. It's foolish to dedicate your lives to getting hold of stuff, because in the end, you won't get to keep them. I know it's a huge cliche, but the reality is, when it comes round to your funeral and someone asks that question, even if it's just in the quiet of their own head, I wonder, how much did he leave? The answer is everything. Everything. There's nothing you can get hold of in this world which you're going to be able to keep. Jesus says, don't be a fool. Don't dedicate your life to getting hold of stuff that you can't keep. Please, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, don't listen to Jesus' words and respond with anger. He's warning you. Please, Jesus says, don't be a fool. Who knows, when you head back to the office this very afternoon, maybe your life is going to be demanded of you. However many things you've got hold of, they won't make your life mean anything. It won't keep you safe, and you won't get to keep them. Invest your life instead in something that will last. Put your trust in Jesus. Turn away from a life serving yourself and follow him, because it's the only solution to that big problem that you have. So let's move on now to the second section of this passage, from verse 22 to 34. Jesus, I think, turns his back on the man and turns instead to speak to his disciples. And in these verses, Jesus is, I think, making just one big point to us. And the point is this: don't be a hypocrite. Just as the fool distracts himself from his big problem, don't get distracted or led astray in the Christian life by living a life that serves money rather than Jesus. And it's right, isn't it? Just like last week, it would be a huge act of Pharisaical hypocrisy to say to the world around us, I'm a Christian, my treasure's in heaven, and yet at the same time, spending my days worrying about how much stuff I can get hold of in the here and now. And Jesus again gives us three reasons. And it's worth noting that to a certain extent, these reasons mirror the parable of the rich fool immediately before them. So, reason number one. Jesus says, don't spend your days being anxious about what you have or don't have to eat or wear, because your life is about so much more than these things. Do you see that? Don't spend your time, Jesus says, worrying about worldly things, because life's so much more than this. It's quite a stark truth, and preparing this passage has been quite hard for me, because I know that I live a life which in part is very hypocritical. That I yearn to acquire things in this world and at the same time proclaim to my friends and my colleagues that my treasure's in heaven. If you're a Christian here today and you struggle with the same thing, that you spend too much of your life worrying about and chasing after these worldly things, then why don't you resolve with me today to turn your back on them? and resolve again to live life wholeheartedly serving Jesus. Reason number two, Jesus warns his disciples that worrying about worldly things isn't actually going to make any difference anyway. Do you see that? Look down at verse 26. However hard we worry, even if we dedicated all of our lives, all of our energy to the pursuit of this one task, we could not add even a single hour, a single minute to our allotted lifespan. Nothing we can do about it. So if worrying about physical things isn't going to achieve anything, Jesus says, then why worry about them? Jesus reminds his disciples again of this wonderful truth that if we're insiders, if we're adopted into Jesus' family, that our Heavenly Father is going to provide for us. He knows the physical things that we need. The obvious truth is that we're worth to him much more than grass or lilies or ravens, and so our Father, who provides for them, will also provide for us. And much more, he will provide his kingdom, which if we seek it, he will provide for us. And this has to have a transformational effect on those of us here who are inclined, not necessarily with being obsessed over getting hold of things, but being racked with anxiety and worry on the inside about not having enough of those things just to meet our day-to-day needs. I know this is a difficult passage, and I know it's one of those general case truths passages. We do see from experience, don't we, as we look around the world, that there are Christians for whom the Father has not provided enough to eat. And we see them starving to death. We see Christians for whom the Father has not kept them safe from physical harm and even their deaths. But I think Jesus is making a point that the general case holds. Generally speaking, we can be very confident that our Heavenly Father is going to provide for our day-to-day needs, and he cares about them and he knows what they are. So if you're here today and you're worrying about redundancy or debt or your husband or your wife losing their job, do be encouraged by Jesus' words. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need and he will care for you. You're much more valuable to him than the birds of the sky, and he cares for them every day. And finally, as we finish, also mirroring again the parable, Jesus in verse 33 makes the obvious point that we shouldn't spend our energy worrying about physical possessions, because at the end of the day, they're not going to last. This is the choice that's open to us as Christians, isn't it? Pursue our Father's kingdom, dedicate all of our energies to it. If we set our hearts upon that kingdom, come to care about it more and more, then we're going to build a treasure there that will last forever. So if you are following Jesus and you're here today, please do take heed of Jesus' warning. Don't expend all of your energy worrying about pursuing material things, because they're not going to last. Set your eyes instead on the kingdom that is to come and build your treasure there, because it'll last forever. So as we finish, if you're not a Christian and you've come today, thank you for coming. Please don't ignore Jesus' warning to you. See the foolishness in dedicating your life to pursuing the things of this world. There is only one answer to your big problem. Please put your trust in Jesus. And if you are a Christian, if you are following Jesus, please don't let his words of warning and his words of encouragement pass you by. If you're someone who's inclined to worry about your day-to-day needs, take comfort. Your Heavenly Father knows what they are. But if, like me, you're more inclined to chasing after physical things, take heed of the warning. Instead, set aside your entire energy and desire for storing up treasures in heaven. And if you want to know what those who are rich towards God, who have those treasures in heaven, who are working to store them up, will be up to in this life day to day, please do come back next week as we find out more as we read on in Luke. Please do stay around and chat. Do chat to Philip. There are some questions on your sheet. But otherwise, do come back next week and find out what happens next.